If you have your Bibles, turn with us to the 5th chapter of the book of Galatians. Amen. I find it no coincidence that the exhortation that has went forth out tonight is in connection with God's word that he saw fit to have delivered this night. We all know that we're tested. We're all going through things every single day. But I want to read some scripture to you tonight and bring out a thought that I feel like is a right now word for us, that the moment we receive it, we can start using it. Meaning, as soon as you get up and walk out of here, you should be able to put this in your spirit and get it to work. And when you put it to work, it will work for your good.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 5, we'll begin reading at verse 16. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law.
Amen.
Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. That should cause us to be alarmed as we read through those. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, and say these with me, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Amen. We're going to come back to some of those in a moment. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. There are two different kinds of things that you are going to do when placed in difficult situations or tests: actions and reactions. An action is what you or another person does that is under your control. When you have the mind to premeditate something to do it and you do it, it is an action. There are a lot of things that we do that we don't necessarily give full thought to, and we live in regret over our decisions. What I wouldn't give to go back to the years of my life I've lost and do it over. For I wouldn't have gave another second to the pleasures of this world. All the days I lost living in substance abuse, Derek, what I wouldn't give to go back to that guy and talk to him. What I wouldn't give to have 1 minute with that guy. You know what I would begin to say? Don't do this. Don't do this.
Come on, brother. Yeah.
There is a better way.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
There are many of you tonight that are hanging in the balance of things. And God is speaking a right now word to you before you take actions that you might regret.
Yeah.
And he's saying, don't do this.
Yeah.
There is a better way.
Amen.
When you begin to be under attack by the enemy, it is lust trying to entice you out of your spirit into your flesh. You'll do things that in the eyes of God are not right. You'll make decisions that aren't good, that aren't for your good, that hurt other people. Things that you'll say, things that you'll do, actions you'll take when nobody's watching.
Come on.
90% of all the things I did in drugs, I did alone. And you can try to hide what you do, but God still knows.
Amen.
What I wouldn't give to go back to the hour when I began to fail. What I wouldn't have given to have had somebody catch me right in that right moment. But I understand why I went through it today. I understand why I'm still standing today. Somebody took action for me. Somebody took action for me. Somebody premeditated that they were going to love me irregardless of my faults. And all my sin that I had committed. As I began to hear the prayers of saints around me, I began to realize who it was that took the action on my behalf. He walked this world as man, trying to teach others a better way. And as they walked in their wickedness, he didn't change his resolve. He didn't change his mission that he was sent forth to do. And as I accepted him for the action that he took towards me, my life began to change. I went from being in debt to being able to pay debt. I went from being a sin-sick soul to being saved. I went from being someone dependent upon chemical substances to somebody that was delivered. I went from somebody that was unhappy, that made decisions based on his feelings and began to actually be changed to think like a real human being. And I used to have a heart of hatred, and God converted it into something great. He has made me into the person that I am today. He has purposed in my life that I would preach his word and deliver his word. So tonight I'm taking action. Because somebody took action for me. God did not put us here tonight to put on a show. He didn't put us here together for us to look at one another. But he has called this solemn assembly in one place at one time so that we can, as a body, take action. What are you going to do when you're pushed against the wall? How are you going to stand when you're tempted into wickedness? Where is your heart when the enemy begins to creep into your mind? When are we going to learn that the greatest actions that we can take is through Christ? When are we going to learn that it's not our battle? When are we going to learn it's not the words that we can justify to make it right what we're doing? When are we going to see the error of our ways that God can change it to improve it? You've got to decide. Say, it's me. You've got to decide what you want to do with your life. And God didn't bring you here still living and still breathing. I feel the presence of God. He has not brought you here tonight for you to suffer. He's not brought you here tonight to live your life in vain. To just pay the bills, to just get by, to just live through life and settle for what you have. He has not brought you here tonight for you to get a word that says settle. He sent a word for you tonight to tell you it's time that we begin to take action. There is a warfare that you're fighting during the tests and trials of your life. And the only way that you're going to win is by the power of the Holy Ghost. But we don't necessarily always have the privilege of premeditating an action. Then there's the moments where we have reactions. I'm just taking my time. I want you to get this. A reaction is defined as an action performed or a feeling experienced in response to a situation or event, thus revealing their true nature. Sometimes we may not have to think about what we are going to do or say before we react. A reaction will most often reveal the true nature of your comforts, beliefs, and pleasures. It's what you do when your back is pressed against the wall. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to start reading at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Some of us think we're just called to preach, and that only preachers have to walk a very fine line. But we're all called into glory and virtue. Those virtues that we read about, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, and temperance, all these virtues, we are called to operate them. Somebody has to say amen. This is not Jared telling you, this is the Word of God. We are called to love. Not to be obligatory love, but we're called to love in spite of faults. We're called to show long suffering in spite of toughness. We're called to be in temperance, to operate in self-control, to do the things we know is right, and to hold back on doing the things we know is wrong. We are called to operate in the things that will combat wickedness, that when we are tempted, we can overcome. Slothfulness is another one that I want to get on right now. When we get tired and we think that God understands, there is a strength you can reach even when you're tired. Not necessarily a strength to run you back and forth all over the church, but one that can keep you in what you're going through. But there's been times I didn't have time to think about what was going on around me. People say foul things against me. People work ill against me. Despitefully use me. Take my good works for their gain. Use the things that I have labored for and work them for their good. Have you ever heard the expression, they put a feather in their cap? People walking around with all kinds of feathers, but no wear and tear on their skin. People walking around saying they're proud of what they've done, but they have no idea how it even works to begin with. You have people that say they can build houses, but they don't know how to build a header. You say that people know how they can put it together from the ground up, but they've never laid a footer in their life. There's people today that are trying to tempt you out of the good works that you're called into. We're talking about love and meekness. The enemy wants to bring you out of these virtues, that when you come short in these virtues, that you'll give in to your comforts.
Amen.
My comforts used to be substance abuse. It would be what I would retreat to when I reacted to adversity. But when I was delivered, He changed my comforter to something greater. He changed where I went to when everything began to go wrong. And I began to be called into something bigger than me. I began to feel something I've never felt in all my life. I never felt a love like the love of God. I never knew what it was like to forgive those that had hurt me until I began to feel His presence. And then I realized that none of it mattered when it comes down to it. That when my back's against the wall, as long as I have Jesus, I know that everything that I face, He's going to work it for my good. And I want to live in the virtues of God. For when I walk in love, there is nothing the enemy can bring that will prosper. When I walk in meekness, I won't be angry because I walk in the love of God. You can't walk in power unless you walk in integrity. You cannot be confident in your gifts and calling until you believe it. If you don't ever begin to change your comfort, then when your back's pushed against the wall, you won't be at the altar. You won't be at church. We begin to drift from God. It's a natural reflex and the first indicator of knowing that we are going astray. We begin to not receive the wisdom of God. That's your first indicator. So what you read out of the Bible that should speak to you and teach you, it's no effect. If you're at that place, you're not too far away yet. But then the enemy begins to seep into your emotional life. He's already won in the mind. He begins to go deeper. He goes into the emotional part of this flesh and begins to bring up things that maybe you hadn't thought about in 10, 20 years to bring you into a place where you have no joy. You just come in and you just look like that somebody has just broke into your house and stolen everything that you possess.
Come on. Yeah.
But it gets worse. He goes all the way down into the soul. Makes you question your very salvation. And if you ever even knew God at all. Some of the people that I counsel and that I minister with on a daily basis talk to me about wondering if they know if they have God or not. And that should alarm us today.
Yeah.
Those that are new in God, those young people that you see around you that you might just walk past and think they're okay, it's time that we begin to be proactive.
Yeah.
And taking action, that we begin to educate the next generation, not only by the word, but by example. We have to walk in the virtues of God for them to understand and feel and know and learn about what is the true meaning of God's love. If we say we love God, but then hate our neighbor in front of our kids, then they don't see the true virtue of God. If people go to a church where they don't operate in the praises of God, they will not feel like that they need to praise God. If they go to a place where people do not operate in the gifts of the Spirit, then they will feel like that they are all right without having it. We need to learn to be proactive in the things that we know, so that when we're pushed against the wall, we'll react in a way that will fall on the comforter instead of the world's comforts. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but we fell back into the old things way too long. For if we were falling in the things of God, those fiery darts you wouldn't even feel. You wouldn't even give it a second thought. You wouldn't even worry about somebody's rumors. So what if they talk about you? So what if they throw you under the bus? It won't matter when it's all said and done. Evil is ever present, roaming the earth, seeking whom it can devour. And when you're not protecting your borders by being proactive, premeditating a defense, he slips in. Does he tempt the evangelist? You bet. Does he tempt the prophet? You bet. Does he tempt the anointed singers? You bet. Does he tempt teachers? I feel like that's where he's infiltrating the most. You bet. It's hard to find places anymore that'll even have even an attendance beyond 20% of their regular service crowds that come for teaching. Don't you see that the enemy is already working in the first area of the church? He's beginning to infiltrate what we learn, what we understand to be true, so that when we come in here, we don't know what to do. And now we've placed the burden of keeping us in a place where we can serve God on the preacher. But that's not why preachers were called. You can go read about why they were called. We were called to minister to those that do not know God. We are not here to be your comfort. We're not here to be the comforter for you. God has given you more than enough inside of you that when push comes to shove, that you will know what to do. Without a vision, we're not going to make it.